Hello, today is the ninth recording of Mystic Babylon, broadcasting from near the Haight in San Francisco. Today we are having two poets besides me read. Finally, we have with us Johanna Wedgwood, the person who hosts the open mic at Sacred Grounds Cafe. And we are also having a poet that I picked at the last minute named Judy Jones. Johanna's poetry is orderable from the Sacred Grounds website, which is www.sacredgrounds.com. Judy Jones has published a lot in Berkeley Street Spirit magazine and has a CD with a backup by Ray Charles's bass player. Both poets will go into more detail about their work when they introduce themselves. I am going to read one poem with the topic of Mother's Day in mind. It is not that positive a poem about Mother's Day, but maybe it will inspire you to be thankful you had a mother who was a real mentor, or you will be able to resolve the way you feel yourself about your mother. I'll let you determine what I really am thinking by what I wrote in the poem. I don't know yet what the other poets are reading, although I asked them to bring something with mother in mind. I wanted to mention that the next podcast will be on the 26th rather than the 28th, so be prepared. The poetry segment will start shortly with me reading first. Hello, this is John Rhodes, creator of Mystic Babylon. This first poem is the poem I wrote with the topic of Mother's Day in mind. It is entitled More Than One Witness. As I said before, I think its message is clear enough for you to figure out what I'm saying by listening to the poem. In it, it refers to topics about people named John, which is obviously my first name. Here is the poem. I only have had one mother, and if I knew that she is real, she would not have had me in the hospital gnashing leather rather than a meal. I was not even able to see the whole deal or know the weather. The doctor doesn't admit the fact that I have a thorn in my foot, and it makes him hoot when I say that it makes me mimic illness, which is difficult not to confute. The psych tech acts like he has never known the moral of a story, and if I start to worry, he looks at me like he wants my soul to bury. In the bathroom they have a soap called Vogue, but it was the attendant, not me, who should be called the rogue. In his eyes there was no hospitality, only banality. I ended up just a number, someone whose canoe had been tipped and couldn't be anything but dumber. Salome then looked and said at me, "It wasn't tipped by you, it was tipped by me intentionally." The hospital's preacher was haunted by the feelings of the flesh as he mumbled shoddily his Christian witness, as I unwittingly shuddered as he sentenced me to wander lost on the earth its whole width and breadth. There was a man there who reminded me of the Wizard of Oz, or somebody who was bald, or then again, a catatonic Lee Harvey Oswald. He thought he was the real family from Camelot, or part of the clan, or Charles Dickens eating from a soup can. He was dubious of me. He looked at me like the heathens looked at Noah. He thought my story was long and tall. Right about then, he tried to nail me to the wall. I am not an early human, no matter how painfully the doctor besieges and tries to prove the contrary to me in the darkened room that was barely illumined. The hospital workers had shiny, doleful eyes, but their souls were dead and looked for spies. The papers the doctor wrote on he hid because he unconsciously knew that there were lies there which made it hard for him to stay calm and not blow his lid. They knew I believed in the cross, but they said it was only a graven image. Besides, they knew they could deprive me of love by them being the boss. They tied their ties in the morning, thinking that if I were to die, it would be no loss. Thank you. The second poem is entitled Splitting a Shadow. It is supposed to sound like a scientist doing an experiment where he is hypothetically observing God split in half in a shadow, as in dark and light. Here is the poem. The old man spots the shadow. He divides the shadow with his eye. His mind is so strong he can split the shadow of the Lord of dark and light into pieces like a pie. He sees God naked and he keeps it to himself as the clock rings the hour, the 12th. The man knows he is frail and weak, but at the same time he is aware that Godhead is meek. The words of knowing right don't come immediately to his mouth, but he knows that in winter geese fly south. He sits together with people in the night where their good feelings build, even though they know there is little might in their guild. Thank you. This last poem is entitled Venetian Blinds and reflects on the subject of mankind using mental discriminations to filter out bad things, much like a Venetian blind does. Here is the poem. For me, there are no Venetian blinds hiding things in my life. My life has been hard and I've even had strife. Jokes have been easy, though, with a magic twist, but sometimes disillusionment comes over me like a low-level mist. There is only one existence in my life who will pay for my pain. That is the Godhead who knows that all that has happened to me is inane. The Godhead also reminds me not to feel bad when I see light falling through the glass window pane. After all this happens, I am able to get back on life's train. The message I have fused in my brain is quite normal and sane. Even in the old days in Egypt, things were just the same. The Pharaoh some days felt odd too, like a Jew or a half-breed on a chain. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Judy Jones, and I'll be reading today from my spoken word CD, Bones of the Homeless, and I will be having a reading from it at Moe's Books on Telegraph Avenue on June 5th at 7:30. And my first book of poetry will be available then, hopefully. It's called The Poorest of the Poor, and both items will be available in Cody's Socialist Action Bookstore, and I'm all over the internet, so I hope to see you then. The first poem I'll read today is called Ode to Mitch Schneider. And I met Mitch Schneider 6 months before he took his own life. It's all right, baby. Mama has you now, cuddled close to her breast, where you can finally rest. Had no moment's peace on earth, did you, hun? Oh, Mitch Schneider, chosen, driven, haunted one. You shed your blood so others could live, taken in by the thousands to your shelter's warm arms, the poor, unwanted, neglected on earth. They flocked to your door, knowing a night's peace could be had with no questions asked. In the coldest, darkest nights, through blizzards, rain, sleet, and snow, as we slept warmly in our secure little beds with dollar signs dancing through our empty little heads, you, darling, were collecting the remains of the no-names at the city morgue's door and holding them tight to your breast. For you were the orphans God on earth, the daddy, mother, brother, all in one for the millions without anyone. On this earth you walked alone and abused, but your mission, my friend, bears fruit. The homeless of this land have one less tear, one more meal, and a night's freedom from the violent who eat the weak on the streets. Unconditional love you gave 24 hours a day. You took in what society throws away, the strays. Yeah, child, you walked them shoes, a prisoner, tramp, and thief. So you knew, didn't you, hun, how it felt on them cold, cold concrete streets. Humbled yourself before mankind, and now your chosen soul child has gone home to God for its final rest. Oh, yeah, sweetie pie, Mitch Schneider, your time for wailing done, and for the price you paid, the whole world's gonna honor and pay homage to you through eternity. Don't need to shed your tears no more, child. It's time for the trumpets and peace bells to ring out your name to everyone on earth, and all the saints gather round and place upon your precious head the crown of the brave, valiant, and those that persevered. In thy hands, feet, and brow, the stigmata do I see there. We crucified thee, Mitch, with ignorance, pride, and tightly closed eyes. And in your side, with your own hand, you placed the final wound, 'cause, child, you had given all you came to earth to give and winged your way back home to God as angels do as soon as their chosen works are through. A saint's halo shall grace thee, of this I am certain. And now, Mr. Schneider, may I, this unknown poet, wash your holy feet with my teardrops dotted here and there and dry them with my hair? You died for love, Mitch Schneider, and we love you. And my second poem is called The Holocaust Museum for the Poorest of the Poor. In the Holocaust Museum for the Poorest of the Poor will lie all the tears, fears, shrieks, and moans of the millions who died on cold concrete streets. Walking in the door, wall seat blood, coffin after coffin of no-name graves will haunt each visitor's face. No one can escape nor change the Holocaust of the poorest of the poor all over Earth's shores. Each visitor may claim a grave of their own, and their names will stand for the no-name that died. And before our eyes will be pictures of those living on the streets, hands stretched out for one tiny morsel of human love. All their misery and pain coming back to claim those hardened hearts that refuse to see the homeless person dying on the streets is you and me. And the next poem I'm going to read, Every Time I Paint, I Give Birth. So since it's Mother's Day, I wrote a poem after painting a picture, and it's called The Afterbirth. Last night I painted and destroyed my apartment, carpet stained with paint, turpentine aroma so strong it caused my head to split in two, hands, feet, and even my hair, multicolored spectacle. Destroyed two other paintings. This birth was wild, violent, and impossible, but barn it was. Didn't give a damn for cleanliness, security deposits, or even my health, for that matter. No, this baby came through me, powered by the spirit world, and like the worst hurricane, turned all around it into the Stone Age. I'm looking at the painting hanging on the wall, smooth, beautiful, smiling back at me. I gave it life. And it took mine.
Thank you, Judy Jones. And next is Johanna Wedgwood.
The first poem I'm reading is called Realty. I can afford one room in the mansion. I choose the closet where the visions are stored. The second poem is How on Earth. How did they manage the homeless a million years ago? How did they deal with the addicts and vagabonds all in a row? Did they give them a living stipend or food banks or free concerts for fun? Did they let the homeless go camping and knit them sweaters till daylight was done? Perhaps they were treated as family pets and went bounding about at a meal, waving red feathers at moonbeams and rolling around on a field. So how did they manage the homeless with work to keep them amused? Perhaps they ranged them in armies to plunder their women and food. The next poem is To My Favorite Old Coat. If I lived in the woods on my own, I could wear my old clothes all alone. In the comfiest clothes no one has to know, rags all faded that I'd re-sewn. I could dress where no one could see, in the clothes that delight only me. A second-hand sweater, an old one is better, the most comfy old rags that there be. My mother would not tell me how to dress like a fancy old cow, to show up at church in high fashion I'd lurch, just as decent as time would allow. I'd live boondock style in the trees and get insects and dirt on my knees. No one has to know just how comfy I go, how unstylishly grungy I be. The next poem is called Cleaning Song. And I wrote this one day when in between jobs, I got some house cleaning jobs, and one of them got was for Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And so this is for him. Let me dust the walls for you and create corners of clarity where before you feared to see the cobwebs. Let me wipe the slate clean as I sweep the floor, as I brighten the gleaming wood of doorways to each pleasure. May I presume to clear the sunbeams that lay unbidden through crystal windows, to light your rainbows reflected from each particle of dust. Swept away these rainbows, let me lighten the space around with dark time waves and organize the dawn. The next poem is called Who Was That Masked Man? Robin Hood and his merry men hide out in Golden Gate Park. From the shanties, teepees, and barracks, all picnicking, camping out after dark. So Willie, Dick, Peter, and Rod got together to bring all the homeless back home. Wondering how to build houses, they produced rulers to measure each other's aplomb. Sending cops to harass old men out for a lark, abused runaways they arrested, homing in like a shark. Sleeping bags, old clothing, medicines, last photos of mother. All stolen by the city, in their lives they had no other. The losers, the dopers, the crazy, the sane, the fugitives and refugees and veterans, all the same. No one had a right to sleep on the land. Even dogs had no right to run on the sand. They gathered and wondered on the streets of the city. What Willie had done was not very pretty. They dreamed of their teepees, barracks, and shanties, sleeping under bushes with no extra panties. So stinky and stinkier punks and weirdos emerged, shocking householders bent on feeding the birds. All called Willie and crew stupid buffoon. Willie told them, don't worry, after all, they'll die soon. Is there a solution? Spare beds on your floor? You must have one room. It must have a door. It never will happen. We all work for this, not to share privacy before death's kiss. We all want our riches. We have little enough food. We have our own children, a large enough brood. Yet we think of our brothers as the cops intersect them, and we wonder, why couldn't the trees protect them? And the next poem is tribute to a street bum, my brother Dennis, who was out sleeping on a street one night. How did you sleep last night, old man, when they blew your brains out? Did you bless them and pray for their souls, receiving instant entry into heaven? Or did you meditate on the last music you played before your guitar was stolen? Did you receive your ascension in honor as a successful carrier of the dream, the time-honored vagabond, refuser of civilization's glories on the road forever? A fitting living room, the pavement, open sunroof, tame pigeon pets, free food from local restaurants, a hermit of life, transcendent, a hawk soars. Is that you? And the next poem, we go to Where's the Margin? Where's the margin? Aye, there's the rub. Margin needed for disasters like droughts, fires, floods, and famine. Earthquakes, volcanoes, comets, hurricanes, tornadoes, huge storms, fires, El Nino, La Nina, seas rising, tsunamis, mudslides, and liquefactions, all in the course of the great warming. Does this not all bring us Famine, drownings, death and destruction, loss of coastal land, epidemics of all kinds, death of rainforests, phytoplankton disappearing, ozone hole growing, species extinction, a dark ages of our evolution, all in the course of the great warming. Why war? Why money? Why profit? Why hunger? Why hatred? Why fear? All in the course of the great warming. And the next poem is What Next? Shall we sit crying over milk spilt in another time, in another place, by other people? Unfinished business is just that, and can be left on its own to recover or die as it please. I shall go wandering with the cows and gambling with goats, fascinated by daisies. And when those days come again, as they always must, when there is no milk, I shall eat cheese and praise the sun for future promise and fast on the sight of lilies. And the last poem is called Secret Language. There is a secret language in the air in those days, dreamily written on twigs and fingertops, wings above echoing old calls of love. Stones were scratched out lovingly with sudden blessings and grace in the sounds of three birds listening for the call of the child. Snakes danced in the ground down old corridors of being, sly eyes laughing as they read the words left for another form. The sound, the word, the symbol, etched in wood and stone to remind the natural mind whence all things come, of the one sound vibrating away. Come and go, come and go, come and go. No real secrets were there, merely forgotten words invented for someone else, reinvented in new colors and shapes.
Thank you, Johanna. I might also mention that Judy has a website that is at ontheroadwithjudy.com, and also come back in 2 weeks if you can. Thank you very much.